Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
We are thrilled to be joined by a real dick.
Yeah.
Real jerk who we're not going to take it from.
Probably the most hated
his
guest
smug
we've had.
New Zealand shit.
Yeah.
He is the hilarious, the talented, the legendary Guy Montgomery.
Yay.
Honored to be here as a man on the ground. just checking
in heaven. What's it like?
Making sure my mad lads are doing okay over there.
The mad lads.
I just cannot believe how, just as a binary looking at the US and New Zealand, how different things are going. Because the news story I woke up to this morning was that, New Zealand's economy has bounced back in the third quarter, surges out of recession in V-shaped recovery. Like, it's all happening. Everything's coming up Kiwi right now.
That's right. And I would like to accept a huge amount of responsibility for that, injecting what limited disposable income I have into your local cafes. Occasional flights to different cities, domestic tourism, if you will. It is life as usual in New Zealand. And I will say, I'm honored and flattered that you guys are checking in with our news.
Yeah.
So really, has America bothered to keep their finger on the thrumming pulse of the happenings of Aotearoa, New Zealand, and then now you guys are schooled up, and this is maybe a first in transnational relations, but I barely know what's going on over there, fellas.
Oh, really?
I got to tell you, the amount of American, like, pretty much since your election, remember that really efficient little piece of democracy you guys exercised over there, but since the outcome of that, there's just been like, it's like the entire nation has just been slowly turning the dial down
on the US.
On the US. To the point that, like, if I skim read the local newspapers or generally the news, you guys, it's like, it's really odd. I hadn't actually thought about it. But there, I mean, and I think part of it is that Trump's not been given the oxygen he once was.
Right.
It's sort of like this low level thrumming anxiety, even from down here, has just been shown the door.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of being too much of a bummer to tell people about, like, yeah, you know, that thing, that dumpster fire, still somehow the flames are getting bigger. I thought,
yeah.
How?
That was the analogy I thought during your election. It was like America was voting between a massive kerosene fire and a bucket of water. And right. You guys voted for the bucket of water, but it's not a big enough bucket.
But yeah, I'm tapped now, into New Zealand for sure.
Is this a return to what things were like before the Trump administration, or is this even quiet for New Zealand's
Honestly, the way that people consume news and information now, I cannot cast my mind back that far for a relevant comparison.
Before times?
It feels like I haven't spoken to people in America been on a Zoom call with people in America for a while, and it's hard to not sound like a total ass when talking about life in New Zealand, but it's just like,
yeah,
you're just doing your business, you know, you're out and about, you're doing your business, and you don't have the same volume of time in which you're just looking at a computer for new information about what's happening, and so I feel less informed, and honestly, fellas, feels really good. Feels really good.
Fuck you, man. Do we look a little more dead behind the eyes than the people you've been interacting with on a daily basis over there?
Yeah, the energy's a little different. It's great to be here, and you know, like it's a process, but surely you got to feel as though you're turning some sort of corner. The numbers are bad, and you're going into winter.
Yeah, but we're turning the corner in the wrong direction.
I know, but it's like, you know, you got the knowledge. This must be the worst corner, and then you think, well, once we're around this corner, surely there's a much more mild corner to come.
And then we realize we're in a maze of just fucking brutality. We're like, wait, they're just, it's just all corners and each one worse than the last.
And then you wake up the next morning and you're Jack Nicholson from The Shining, just frozen solid.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Guy, you are giving us life. We appreciate you. Yeah. Giving us a little beam of sunshine from
Wellington
from
is the my UN. New Washington.
Yes.
And you know, they'll be overwhelmed to hear that.
I know. it took me a while to build the courage to say that on mic, but I did.
Yeah.
What is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I searched recently for pregnant woman hormones. That's something that my wife is going through right now.
Okay.
So we're due in April. So I just wanted to, you know, search that and see, what kind of things go on with that. If it's a normal thing, how to deal with it. But the stuff that's in Google is not very helpful. It's just like, be funny, be caring. It's just like, all right, well. You know, I try to do that, like,
right
before I started Googling.
Some hacks I can do?
Yeah, like, do you have any direct line connections to improve the mood?
Yeah.
Right. So you did the crude dude Google search version of what to expect when you're expecting, when you're like,
yeah,
pregnant woman hormones? What do you got, Google?
With my wife's hormones? I don't get it. I'm just a simple man. I don't know what to do yet.
We're 5 months out. I guess I'll acknowledge what's going on here.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I guess I should have ordered like a book or something, but I don't know.
Yeah. And also congrats, man, on your, yeah, your
congratulations.
First
child.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. First kit.
Wow. Wow.
Was that a thing, a planned pregnancy within quarantine? I knew people who were like looking at it like, well, this is a sustained period where I might be able to be around for a long time. So should we have a child? Did that enter the thing, or was it something that you were just always happening, or did pandemic have anything to do with it?
Well, definitely the pandemic had a factor in the timing of it for sure, because we did plan, because we were like, I'm usually out touring and on the road like a lot of weekends of the month. And right now I've been home more than I ever have. And I probably will be going into, you know, the new year and stuff like that more than usual. And we were like, okay, I'll be here more. Like, this is one of those things where if I was on the road all the time, like that's just, that's kind of hard for her while she's pregnant and experiencing that. You know what I mean? So we kind of figured if we did it when we did it and, that it would be beneficial for us both, and be the most helpful for her like along the way. So that way I'm not just like gone and then she's just like dealing with like everything while being pregnant. So but she's she's been great through the process, even though I'm Googling hormones and stuff. It's more just like it's a foreign thing to me because like we're both pretty even keel people, so it's just like an adjustment, like this is like part of it, this is like a thing.
And it's good to just know what to expect throughout the...
I should have got that book. I should have got what to expect when you're expecting.
Gets real uncomfortable for women towards the end of the...
That's what I've been reading and hearing about.
Sleeping gets difficult.
Get that body pillow. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do highly recommend the body pillow for sure.
Okay. I'll look into it.
Yeah. Me too. I'm a side sleeper. And I learned that tip from my homegirl that was pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah,
she was like, you might want to try a body pillow, because I remember it was like, hey, what's that thing? She's like, it's because I'm pregnant and it helps me sleep more comfortably because my body is all growing in different directions. I was like, huh. I was like, you think that'll work for me?
Yeah. Like, you're like, shout out to body pillows. Are you done with that thing, or can I buy that all?
Yeah, exactly. The second the child was born, I'm like, hey, man, I'm coming to get that body pillow really quick.
Yeah.
She's like, you don't want to say hi to the child? No. I'm here for the
body. Cute kid. Focused. Give me the pillow.
During this pregnancy, are your families based in LA, or do you have are your families like on completely other parts of the country? Because I know that's another thing a lot of people have been sorting through.
Yeah, so her family's in Northern California. It's about 5-6 hour drive away. So if they need to come into town, it's not crazy, but it's still you know, a bit. But my family's back in Kansas, so that's either a very, very long drive. It's like a 25-hour drive, or it's, you know, a flight home. So we're gonna try once the baby's born to stagger their visits and stuff. Hopefully this stuff with COVID is chilled out a little bit and everybody's a little bit more healthy, and you know, we got 4 or 5 months away, so we'll see. I'm hopeful. We'll see.
And I like that we just need to tell COVID to chill out.
It's like take a chill pill, COVID. Come on, bro.
Yeah,
the fuck. We get it, okay? Trash. Point made.
Now you're just rubbing it in at this point. You're a sore loser at this point.
Yeah. Oh, God.
What is something you think is overrated, Nick?
Billionaires donating money. I think they get so much credit, and nobody ever donates more than they have, like, increased their wealth. I just saw that story today about Mackenzie... What's her face?
Bezos. Ex-Bezos. Yeah.
Yeah. So she had given $6 billion this year to charity. And they were like, isn't this incredible? And in Forbes, she was listed in July as having $30 billion. And then in September, this is this year. Then in September, she had $68 billion.
Oh.
And then so she gave away $4 billion in that time. It's like, thank you. And she said her goal was to give away half of her money, which is hilarious for a person with $68 billion to say that she only wants to give away half of it. And also, how can you say that and then give away such a smaller percentage of what you made? What half of what? Half of future earnings?
There's just not time in the day to give away all this money.
Nick, you got $4 billion laying around? That's what I thought. So, you know what? It is a lot of money.
And she does this for literally no work. She owns 4% of Amazon. And just that she gets, in this time, she's gotten $1 billion every 3 days.
I mean, I would say she probably did it for more work in terms of more work than Jeff Bezos, because she had to be married to that motherfucker for that many years. But I do, like, these
she
are
didn't
the
have
sorts
to be.
Of, That's true. I don't know. Right. Yeah, that's totally.
At a certain
fair.
Point, you're kind of like, let me look at the clock, man. If I run this out a few more years, I can get half this bitch.
Literally, okay, everyone else in the world didn't marry him, so I was like, I'm not giving you any credit.
we all managed to do that. But
round of applause.
The two things that they love doing is getting credit for giving away their money and sheltering the fuck out of their money from the government, from any like having to pay taxes, which is where it should actually be going. Like, yeah, the government will gladly take half of your money. They take half of a lot of people's money who can't afford to fucking like put it in a tax shelter offshore or whatever.
So at the very least, I want to, I submit to the Zeit gang. Let's stop using Amazon. Boycott Amazon. Nick Turner said it. And when they kill me, you look back to this episode of TDZ.
Amazon's really the worst.
It's bad. Yeah. I started boycotting last year and, it's incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Right.
I got in trouble boycotting this year and having to pay like $30 shipping on something. But you know what?
We'll probably stop doing the Audible ads too then.
Now Audible, on the other hand.
yeah, I love the Washington Post too. Look, it's not all terrible.
Anyways, we do want to get to Kirk Cameron real quick because he's part of the, you know, let's do something for the holidays and own the libs situation.
Yeah, why? You know, why? Why do this? This the Growing Pains guy that I only remember as the Growing Pains guy. he is attempting relevance yet again, but this time it's specifically to troll Governor Gavin Newsom. Now, look, while I love to troll the fuck out of Gavin Newsom, also, you know, please let me have Kamala Harris's Senate seat or Dianne Feinstein's Gavin Newsom. Let's talk. This is a very specific take that they're going down, this battle with him that they want to do, which is about, you know, why are they stopping, you know, the congregations of people just because there's a pandemic that's transmitted through the air in enclosed spaces and could lead to death. I don't understand why they would ask us to do that. Nay, why would they make this a law or say that we have to do this? So this dude has been doing some outdoor caroling, just like full on, meet me at a parking lot. I'm going to set up some PAs and we'll just yell into each other's mouths in the cold. And he did I think the second one happened recently in Thousand Oaks at the Oaks Mall parking lot. And they were just, the photos were like, yo, this is interesting. Like, no masks and singing. Sure. The police were called, in which they just came up, didn't give any citations, and were just sort of like, you guys should wear masks. And they were like, boo, and then they left. So this is all, again, so Kirk Cameron can troll the governor and like not even giving a fuck about these people. Like, sure, he's going to bait these people in with the promises of like, hey, get your holiday jollies off with everybody. And like, we can sing like, you know, fa la 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 and all that shit. But really, he's just doing that behind the scenes. He's like, oh, yeah, man, this is just to say fuck.
Yeah,
you
this isn't about Jesus. Like, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I will wear a mask and I will be 70 feet away looking through binoculars. That's how Kirk Cameron was experiencing it.
Yeah, but try and explain bananas without agreeing with Kirk Cameron's worldview. Have you ever seen that video of him being like,
no.
Oh, you don't think God exists? And then he holds up a banana and is like, explain this. And it's like, huh?
Oh, no.
Yeah, wait, so the logic being like, wait, what does that mean?
It's too perfect of a creation for man to have created it. Even though, like, basically all fruits that we consume these days have just been genetically modified and like
by man.
Yeah, by man.
By humankind.
Like, bananas were the size of your pinky finger before humanity started just like breeding all the biggest ones together. Like,
and now we don't even have like bananas that like our elders used to eat.
Yeah.
Like, we've got like, we have like one banana on Earth now.
Yes.
Thanks, Kirk. Thanks, God, or God Santo, or Monsanto, or whatever the fuck you are.
Shout out to that one banana doing all that work, though. Great, great food.
Do you think Kirk Cameron smokes weed?
No.
That feels like a
But I don't know, you're right. Maybe. That is like, look at this banana. Like he.
I feel like he smoked weed once and saw God.
He
and
talked then in the banana to a guy who smoked weed once. I feel like is right, where right, right. he's coming from.
Oh yeah, yeah. He met a white dude, a white pastor with dreadlocks, who's like a trippy Christian like pastor.
Yes.
And he was just like, I don't know if you thought about a banana, Kirk. Like it's it seems like chaos on the outside, and it doesn't make sense. But when you peel it, it has the vital essences of things we need, like potassium and vitamins, and the fibers we need for our bodies, sort of like Christ's love and salvation. From the outside, it may look like this one thing, but you really have to engage with it to understand its nourishment, Kirk. God. Whoa. All right.
I'm
See
sold.
You at the Oaks Park.
That was good.
I'm in, actually. I'm going to be at the Oaks Mall.
It's so easy to make up that bullshit.
Catch me at Hillsong.
That was actually good. Yeah.
I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be at Hillsong with Justin Bieber this Sunday. Where am
I?
My
I hear they're looking for
Supreme
new leadership.
Off-white outfit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that dude was... he said God was like making him cheat on his wife or some shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tempted him, and he fell down on the job.
Yeah.
Those cool glasses. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. A story that was kind of unimaginable probably even a couple years ago is now, I don't know, hopefully this isn't the new normal, but there is a former police captain who was funded with $250,000 to try to track down the imaginary scheme that stole the election from Trump. Is basically
exactly.
Yeah.
Of this man is a fucking patriot who
doing
round the clock surveillance on the kingpin mastermind of a 750,000 fake absentee ballot scheme, okay? And yes. He tried to fucking tell everyone. This man, I think it's like Mark Anthony Aguirre, he's like 63. He was watching this person who he believed with others in this group of patriots to figure out if this was the kingpin of this fake ballot scheme. One day, this man leaves for work. Aguirre follows him, like crashes into his car to force the guy to pull over. When the man comes out, pulls a fucking gun out and holds him at gunpoint, gets him on the ground, puts a knee to his back. And while some other goons hopped out, take the guy's work van and take off with it. When the cops come, all to find out this guy is just a air conditioning repair technician. Nothing more. He is just a man who lived in a mobile home park or something where this guy was tailing him. And they decided this was the guy who had a bunch of ballots in his van, which is why they tried to get him when he was in his work van, only to find the normal things that a fucking AC repair tech would have in their van. And when the cops came, they were like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? And this guy, Aguirre, told the officer that arrives, like, look, man, you can be on the right side of history or the wrong side, man, but I'm telling you, this guy's blah, 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 blah. And they're like, okay, sir, like, you're under arrest. Like, what the fuck is this? This is, like, false imprisonment, like, all kinds of shit. You're coming with us. And the thing that you're talking about, Jack, the $250,000, yes, this guy was fucking funded to do this work to the tune of over $260,000. He got a $211,000 payment the day after this confrontation took place, just directly wired into his account. They're like, everyone's like, what the fuck is this money? It turns out he's saying, I'm working for the Liberty Center. And this is a thing that's funded by this guy, Steve Hotz, who's a huge mega donor to the GOP. And he was basically, you know how before the election we were talking about how there were 127,000 ballots in Harris County that were like the Republicans are trying to sue to get invalidated because they were in this drive-through vote center. He was funding that legal battle amongst many others. He was going all out to try and, you know, fuck the election up and also find evidence of fraud. This was his big thing. The Liberty Center's Facebook group was all about, we're going to find this fraud. They were asking people on their website being like, yo, please give us money. We have all these investigations going. They cost like $200,000, a very specific number per investigation. We need this money. And this is where we're at. And, you know, apparently this man, Aguirre, was telling law enforcement at every level. He asked the attorney general of the state, like the heads of police departments, the Texas Rangers, saying, this guy's got ballots, man. I'm watching him. You got to help me out with this. And they're all like, please stop calling here. Like, you can't just call in a fake crime and expect us to fucking go do something about it. And he was pleading with them. Which kind of brings me to an interesting point, which is what happens if you're in law enforcement and someone is so insistent that a crime is occurring and them saying that they are also investigating? Like, at what point is there a responsibility to try and figure out, wait, hold on, are you just going to harass somebody who's not doing a fucking thing because you're hopped up on like Newsmax and OAN conspiracy bullshit? So, yes, that is a weird thing. And I'd hope this is not the new normal, but it feels like some shit as we get closer to January 20th and these people like on the full Trump MAGA world train are like, oh man, he's really going to pull a switcheroo on him on January 19th. Like, come on, bro. Dad went to get cigarettes and is not coming back.
It's truly wild how much just, you know, Republican donors are able to manipulate the reality of people who are in the thrall of that party. Like, this reminds me, for some reason, of the whole Tea Party movement and just, you know, 5-10 years on reading what was actually going on with the Tea Party movement being, you know, billionaires funding the whole thing and, like, doing grassroots organizing to get these people to do their bidding.
Also, this is the charities that they are donating to.
Right.
This is
right.
When they say donated $5 billion. It's to QAnon.
To Liberty. Yeah.
Yeah. The Liberty Center. Yeah.
Liberty's had such a bad run, just like from a PR perspective, the word Liberty.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I mean, even the
that
WNBA
star meter is down.
Yeah.
Ever since Rebecca Lobo left, I mean, the Liberty ain't been right. I'll tell you that.
I know.
But yeah, I don't know. you know, where this goes, how this evolves, but it's truly like this weird, like, you know, these mega donors, they get off on just being like, I think I can get a bunch of like poor, useful stooges to like sow chaos. And I can kind of be like, yeah, watch me do that shit with money or other people's money, rather than like substantively trying to actually like win an election, like, you know, get more people out there to try and do some, you know, door knocking or whatever. It's like, nah, I'm going to get a guy who is a cop to basically act like a fucking Steven Seagal character. And maybe he'll manufacture some evidence of fraud. And I don't care, but fuck it. Like, let's just do that. That's fun. Well, I'm sit back and do that with my money.
America just needs the slightest of pushes to become violent, like, you know, right-wing ideologues. Like, that's you're just helping them do what they already want to do in this case, I feel like.
And a lot of experts are saying this whole rejection of the election results is basically... like, they're just saying, oh, this is what they're doing, is they're accelerating radicalization of the party by doing this.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It's not just like, oh, wow, they're not giving up. It's like, no. Like, even whether or not they know it or if it's intentional, is like the fact that the party line is now saying we're against reality is the one of the, you know, it's a huge step towards fully radicalizing everything. And it's not like Trumpism. It's more just like GOP is just going like mask off with it, because the Trumpism narrative is kind of like more than like, I think he was just the dude at the concert, the first dude at the concert to smoke a blunt inside when the security is like, hey, no smoking inside. And everyone's like, oh, we can smoke in here? Okay, yeah. Because I was on that shit anyway, too. That's basically what's happened. It's not that Trump is anything new. It's just like, he sparked up before everybody else did. And everybody else knew what time it was.
Yeah.
It was remarkable after Mitch McConnell acknowledged Biden as president-elect, there's still 220 senators and congresspeople, Republican, who have yet to acknowledge it. And I just wonder, what would people be doing if there wasn't like just these people whose lives are spent doing QAnon, Proud Boy bullshit? Like, what if that was not there and no one had tricked them in going to a fun party once where it like turned into ruin their lives? Like, it's just such a fucking waste of time.
And energy. And
lives. Yeah. Like, it's just a waste of lives.
Yep.
Right.
And a ruiner of family relationships. And there's so much unseen damage being done.
It's hard. I get it. Just as a sports fan, right? Like, one of my teams, Arsenal, is fucking up right now. They are comically bad. But, like, rather than read the posts that are, like, analyzing why it's so bad, even though they're objective analyses of like what's going wrong, I'd rather read the article where the staff at the club are saying, yeah, we expected all of this turbulence right now, and it's all part of the plan, because we got to get through this to reach the next evolution. Like, it's like an equivalent where it's like, I don't want the objective, or like, just make me feel good or like less bad about the thing that I'm so attached to being bullshit,
right?
Or at least on some like very humanistic, you know, like that's just our need to never feel like we're fully losing, or, you know, because we have this like sort of binary of winning or losing in our minds, especially with politics, that it just turns into this thing where it's like, well, I ain't fucking losing. So if I'm not losing, then I'm choosing to follow Q.
Truck nuts are not the only thing that's in short supply. Brexit has people across the pond, as the media cliche goes, people in England are concerned about, they're going to have shortages.
Because they want to break up with the EU. They want to fuck around. And now they're like, well, they still need to sort out a trade deal. Because they're like, okay, maybe politically we're not aligned, but like trade's a huge thing. And like, we need stuff from y'all. And like, we're an island. So what's going on? Right now, that has not been figured out. And if there's like a straight up no deal Brexit on that, it could lead to shortages, price hikes on certain things. But it kind of really underlines just how much of, you know, the global economy, you know, and how much we rely on other countries for certain imports and things like that. Because if they don't have a deal in place with the EU, they're going to have to like revert to like World Trade Organization norms, where there's like certain tariffs on things. And that could really change things for people in the UK. So if they don't figure out a deal, these are some of the things that people in the UK will have a lot of trouble getting, but they're going to have to either pay more.
Yeah,
it could be a little pricey. For example, pizza dough is made from wheat varieties that they have to get from other places. Avocados and bananas, most of that shit is imported. So that's another thing.
Millennials are not going to be happy.
Millennials will starve to death. I mean, let's be real. If there is no avocado toast or Diamond Industries for them to ruin.
Dude, and pizza? You're messing with my pizza now? This is getting serious.
Exactly. What about ham? You can't get ham if you're in the UK because a lot of the good ham, like the loins and things like that, are coming from across the, like from the EU. Broccoli, tomatoes, that's another thing. Like, you know, apparently the UK only produces a fifth of the tomatoes that they actually sell within the country.
Tomatoes.
And come on, UK Zeitgang. Let
you
us know.
Say potato, I say tomato.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, I think that's how it goes.
Potato, how do you say it? Oh, also
lift.
Potato.
Yes.
Also
I think it's pronounced.
That's an elevator. Yeah. But They also, wine will be tough to get, but the things that they can get, so don't worry, you get plenty of mutton, because that's all being grown
Hell
in the
yeah.
UK.
Dude, I'm all about
peas,
that mutton life,
carrots,
dude.
Yeah, peas, carrots, and beets, don't worry, UK, you're good. You
that
got
was,
plenty of those.
They have this listed like it's a combination, or that beetroot, peas, carrots, and beetroot. Like those are core staples of, is that just more popular in the UK than...
beets are kind of having a, I mean, their renaissance kind of happened.
Stands are popping in the UK right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think maybe because it's probably one of the things that they have a ton of. That's why they're just pointing out. It's like, look, we're good in the UK when it comes to beets, carrots, and peas or bread. They say toast and chips. Don't worry about that because we got enough potatoes. You know, we can have Scotch whiskey. So we need to worry about wine. But the sad thing is cod, like for fish and chips.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, unfortunately with cod for fish and chips, that's coming from Norway and Iceland. So that's going to be a bit of a hit.
Yeah.
But lobster, they got that.
They have toast and chips, lobster and chips, which as far as I know, aren't like the only thing I've ever heard of is fish and chips or cod and chips. So it feels like they're trying to start something here with toast and chips.
Yeah. They're,
it
they're,
seems
they're like,
weird.
Don't worry. You can get this thing we just made up.
Yeah, we totally have lots of it. It's not a problem. Plenty of that where that came from. Don't worry, you won't want the fish and chips anymore. That's a thing of the past.
No.
We do have we have peanut butter and chips and lots of new things. They're exciting. You got to try it.
I think I'm just gonna go to Nando's. Thanks anyway.
Oh,
yeah. But lobster, I mean, I didn't realize they have an abundance, as they say in this Daily Mail article, of crab, prawns, and lobster. So you're good on the arthropods.
Okay.
Damn. Living that good life, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess they'll be fine after all. This would be enough to change my politics. I have traditionally been pro-Brexit, but yeah.
Yeah,
this,
I know. Which one did it for you? Was it the ham or pizza?
Pizza.
Yeah.
Dude, of course. Yeah. You don't mess with my pizza. Okay,
you've always said that. As long as I've known you for the past hour,
you don't do that. All right, that's crossing the line where I'm from.
That's right. I have Miles. You were talking about having a little bit of a history with St. Louis. I lived in Columbia for the first 3 years of my marriage.
Wow,
many, many, many miles from any airport. So. Spent a lot of time driving in Missouri.
Why were you there for 3 years of school?
My wife was going through medical school.
Yes. So. Columbia's not bad.
Columbia's a nice little college town.
It's cute.
The definition of college.
It totally is.
Yeah. We were like within earshot of the football stadium, so you could just like ambiently get the vibes that I never had in my college time because we didn't have like a big college football team, but
decent basketball.
That's
though.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, decent.
Wait, what's the college? Is that Mizzou?
Mizzou.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. My cousin went there.
Yeah.
Didn't know that was in Columbia.
Great journalism school.
High school. Great. Brad Pitt went there, didn't he?
Brad, I believe that's correct. Mm-hmm. I believe that is on the on the sign when you're entering the university. Brad Pitt went here.
It's a statue of him like eating an apple.
Eating nachos.
Because he's always eating.
He's so good at eating, man. That guy fucking
wait, did does not... he eat? Is he photographed eating a lot?
Well, he's think just of in any... his movies.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess
like,
you're right.
Any Ocean's film, Fight Club, snack, like you can all I can always picture a moment where he's eating or taking a bite of something.
Yeah, he's got to work that chiseled jaw. You want to see it in action.
Really draws attention to the chiseled jawline. Yeah. I noticed it in Oceans, and then I like went back and like in Eat Joe Black, Freudian slip, but Meet Joe Black. He like there's a thing where he tries peanut butter for the first time. Like I feel like there are certain people who just have things written into their contract that they have to do, and eating is like, you know, show off the
and
goods.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks pees. We do like
oh
to talk
my gosh,
about that.
He does.
Yeah. John Cusack lot. Likes to be stuck in the rain. There's all sorts of
some people say like Tom Hanks just had a career in acting just for easy access to doing pee scenes for large crews.
Yeah, really wasn't about one way or another. If he hadn't broken into Hollywood, he was going to get into the porn game. Because
have you guys heard about that podcast where he fired a guy on the set of Band of Brothers because he had dead eyes? And this guy goes back to the podcast is called Dead Eyes. I just started listening to it. It's hilarious. This guy, it was like, you know, listed as like a podcast of the year. And I just heard the first episode the other night, but it's called Dead Eyes. And this guy was like, got his first acting gig in Band of Brothers. And he's American. He was over in London studying theater and acting. And he was really struggling to get a job over there. And like, out of nowhere, Band of Brothers starts casting, and it's like he has a chance as an American to get a role, and he gets it, and then they take it. He calls everyone he knows. He's so excited. It's a speaking role. Like, it's not – he has, like, 10 lines, but it's just huge, you know?
Yeah.
And then he gets a call from the casting director that says, you have to re-audition because Tom thinks you have dead eyes. And they're not – he wasn't supposed to find out he had dead eyes. That was a note from, like, the assistant that told him that. And he goes in, and he has to re-audition, and then he gets fired by Tom Hanks for having dead eyes. So he's going back and like investigating it and finding out like what happened. And and it's really fascinating.
That's a whole new level of rejection, because like that's you're being rejected by America's dad. Like it's one thing to get rejected by your own dad, but by the entire country, the world's dad.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm like what I'm feeling right now, whether it's like, wait, Tom Hanks is capable of bad, or also am I putting myself in dead eyes position? And I'm like, what? But I can't help my eyes. How can I undead them? Like, did he come in wild extra for the re-audition? Was like, oh my God, Sergeant Baker, Captain Winters, we have to take that hill.
Like, that was the curious part. I was confused as to why he didn't talk about his re-audition and how he tried to make his eyes more lively. I would think that would be something you would move him more, but he didn't mention that. And then I Googled him, which when I was going through my Google searches for you guys, I saw his name and I go, who is that? And then I was like, oh, I Googled to see if he had dead eyes. And he kind of does. Like, see it in the pictures. They're a little bit sociopathic, a little bit like just like looking through you, which is not a bad thing. He's actually a really great actor, comedic actor. And he's like a UCB guy and really accomplished. But he in fact, I did see what Tom was talking about. But I do think that maybe Tom has a bad side, you know? Like,
Connor Ratliff.
We could have never guessed. Yes, Connor Ratliff.
Is it
okay?
I mean, Tom Hanks is a producer on that show, and it's like on the one hand, it's not great that it got back to him because that's right. Very personally insulting and something that he can do nothing about. It would sound like, but that is kind of his job. Is if somebody is miscast or like isn't like reading on the screen. Like I kind of don't begrudge Tom Hanks the ability to fire people for having dead eyes, especially because
it's a funny thing
as we've discussed. I've always said that actually, Tom Hanks can, but he might've had that specifically stuck in his head because he was coming off of Polar Express, where the mocap is right. specifically known for like giving Tom Hanks the deadest eyes that any yes. movie character has ever had.
Well, he said he walked back into the room.
You might have to go on the show. Just to offer him that perspective.
Seriously, that I mean, that's a really good point. He said he walked into the re-audition and and Tom's in there and he didn't recognize him. He looked like shit, he said. He was like, he looked terrible and he has just gotten done filming Castaway. And so he right. had lost all this weight and you know, he didn't know what he was all skinny and like just like looked homeless for. And right. It just like I – have you guys ever found out something about yourself that you weren't supposed to know like that? Like I try not to hear – I would never – I'm not one of those people that wants to know what people really think stuff. About me. I would like yeah. to live in the world where, you know, like I talk shit about people. So I assume people talk shit about me. And it's like, it's their right. I don't, it's that whole phrase of like, it's none of your business what other people think about you. I try to like, I wouldn't be one of those people that's like, if you could be invisible for the day, what would you do?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I wouldn't right. like go to hear people talking about me ever.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. Yeah.
No. Not a good idea.
But people like that.
It's like a thing where like you're not, I mean, like when you're susceptible to that, like it shows that you're very, like you can't live from your inside out, you know, like you're living yes. from the outside in. Everything that's happening outside of you is actually determining your internal space rather than coming from a place of like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe my mouth is crooked, which is the thing yes. I've heard. And I'm like, but I don't give a fuck. That's just, that's what it is. And I don't care. But at the end of the day, like I can't see my own fucking mouth. So who gives a shit?
Yeah, that's a good point. You can't. We're not meant to see our reflections, like, ever. What?
Yes,
Jack. I was just going to say, Miles has a great mouth. Not crooked at all. As somebody who has a crooked smile.
Pull up our performance review that you wrote up of me. It's in there. Line one. Bro, he wrote, bro, your mouth, dog. It just says, bro, your mouth, dog.
Yeah, like, when I've done the roast, you know, like that's right, when right. you are subject to those things that you're like, oh, I didn't even know that right. about myself. But people just the writer's room for those. They just sit and stare at a picture of you all day and take it apart and say like the worst things possible. And it's really led me to be deeply insecure about things that I didn't, you know, I already have insecurities and then they find new things. And right. Yeah, like one that comes back to haunt me all the time is like people said I look like Owen Wilson, which is I kind of did. Like I get it, and the way you guys just laughed just confirmed it. That was
no, it's an absurd thing.
I know it's absurd.
But guess what, Nikki? Now I got to pull up a photo and really give it a gander.
Like we totally like wow. yeah we oh yeah wow. I got to work on an impression of him. That would be killer. But he's like a feminine looking man, so I'll take
for
it.
Sure.
But that one's come back to haunt me a lot, and I definitely did see it, and I was like, oh, you know, I booked an appointment with a plastic surgery person after the roast to like go oh, like man. Fix some stuff. It was wild. I spent so much money on different dumb stuff just to like, you know, and then they'll make fun of you for looking plastic, so it's like you can't win. But right. I did have dead eyes for a while when I got like Botox. That really does kill your eye. Like that's talk about dead eyes.
Right.
And now it's all gone. Right. It's like it's with COVID, you can't have any more touch ups. So I feel so good like having my face just like being able to move again and back to normal. Because I've right, yeah. Right.
Did you feel like there was any diminished feeling like emotions? I've read that that's something that happens where when your face is frozen, you're less able to even feel the emotions because like it's a two-way street. Did you notice that?
No. You know, I already have a hard time feeling my feelings. So I think that I was already just like it was probably just – felt pretty good on top of that. Yeah. But I did cry. I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire right before the pandemic, like right when it happened that week. Oh, wow. It was like one of the last things that filmed before everything shut down. And I had a lot of Botox in my face and I cried on that show. Like it's so weird that I don't cry, but when the camera was in front of me and it was a real cry, it wasn't for the camera. Like I accidentally said the wrong answer. And like I locked in the wrong answer, you know, it was between two things. And I was like, it's not this. I know it's not this. And then I said, you know, B, final answer. And it was what I was saying was the not it. So everyone knew, like, I had just fucked up, and I go, no! And I'm screaming, and I cry because it's like, it was just because I just didn't take my time, and I had just gotten done telling Jimmy Kimmel, the host, that I really want to be patient and think and I was just so disappointed in myself, so I started crying, and it looks like I'm fake crying because my face can't move. It's just like a tear falling out of a frozen face, and that's when I was like, you gotta get that stuff out of you until the next roast and someone makes you feel bad again.
By the way, Polar Express 2004, Band of Brothers 2001. So maybe Tom Hanks should have worried about his own dead eyes a little bit more, and less about your boy's dead eyes. All right, let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. One thing I was looking at, it was interestingly enough, is the New York Times devoted a bit of page space to the trend, the pandemic trend of squirrel tables. Have you guys seen this? The squirrel table sort of stuff, like
no, I've not seen the squirrel tables.
You haven't seen these kinds of memes, or like not memes, like, but I felt like at the very beginning of lockdown, I was definitely seeing these like videos and images of people creating like picnic benches for squirrels that they would put on trees or fences, and like just be like, oh my god, look, the squirrel's eating at this table I made, and it's eating sunflower seeds, and people are just getting giddy by being like, I made a cool restaurant for a squirrel.
Okay, that's kind of cute.
This doesn't, I'm really the only one that was tapped into the world
of
squirrel
tables. I was
like,
this does not ring any kind of bells for me. You were, what's your algorithm?
I don't know, man. I think it's like, it like modulates between like European soccer, NBA, weed, like hip hop beats, and then like moments that'll make you cry because you skipped therapy this week. but this one, this the trend. So as they're saying, they really tried to dial in where the origin of this trend was. They said the trend seemed to have started in March, quote, when Rick Kalinowski, an unemployed plumber in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, posted a series of pictures of a squirrel feeder in the Facebook group All About Squirrels. In one widely shared picture, a squirrel sits at the table attached to a fence and grasps peanuts in its little hands. Now, just a quick history about squirrels, which I didn't know. I just thought they were things we have lived with a long time. Apparently, like, we got very close to like eradicating squirrels from cities because people were just like, oh, these are crop pests. They're like, they're game. Like, they're not for fucking hopping around our neighborhoods and things like that. But they had a nice rehabilitation in the mid 1800s in places like Philly and Boston. They began reintroducing squirrels to like the urban environments to, quote, beautify and enliven the urban landscape at a time when American cities were growing in geographic extent, population density, and cultural diversity. And then once the urban park came along, it was Frederick Law Olmsted bestowed upon us.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, we all know. I mean, we all have the tattoo.
Yeah.
Squirrels basically, once like we have more parks, they really began finding their place in like trees and in suburbs and in cities. So now cut to like us living vicariously through these tiny animals.
This sounds like something that my like aunt would post to Facebook and be like, now this is true bipartisanship. There are some things we can all agree on, and it's that a squirrel on a table makes me laugh.
And look at him eating today. My best customer, Thelonious Chipmunk, which I think is the name of a famous squirrel.
This is much kinder to the squirrel than some of the YouTube squirrel clicks I've gone after, which are people squirrel who are unhappy with squirrels taking their bird seed.
Oh yeah, no, this is a
there is some true hilarious, depending on you know, mean obstacle course aficionados that have like really taken it to squirrels, because as anyone from the Midwest like myself knows, they will get that bird seed,
right? No matter
they
what,
they will find a way. They will get the bird seed.
Well, going off this, I want to make a quick YouTube recommendation. There's a channel I learned about recently called James Blackwood, the Raccoon Whisperer. He's a guy that lives in Nova Scotia, and it's just truly thousands of videos of him feeding raccoons peanut butter sandwiches every single night. The raccoons are gigantic, and they love him, and he has them on a schedule. And wow, it's just, if you want to see a retiree feed like 30 raccoons.
Isn't this how Grizzly Man died?
There's a channel.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. The raccoons are so, because they have fingers and hands, and it's cute. And he has 400,000 subscribers.
Is Werner Herzog gonna narrate that too? It's like with the raccoon man. He came to their hunger ultimately.
He uploads twice a day. It's just like, and all the videos are called like "Mobbed by Raccoons Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020."
Twice a day. This guy is a content machine.
Yeah, we think we release a lot. Well, he's going twice a day, no days off, with the raccoon content.
I will say this, like, people are, I mean, it's nice to see people be productive in their time off. At least, like, they're being like, I'm dedicating my time to at least feed some animals rather than, like, poisoning the raccoons or fucking squirrels and shit like that. But I posted one of the pictures from this article. people are making like full-on charcuterie boards for squirrels. And that's where I'm like, look, I get it. If it's a hobby and helps pass the time, like, I'm not going to judge you. But like, I'm looking at that, I'm like, yo, I'm too greedy with my food to ever put a platter out for an animal who won't give a fuck about the presentation.
I mean, honestly, at that point, I feel like that's people doing it more for content than for the animals, right, which is annoying. They're like, oh, isn't this funny? And you're like, I guess, whatever.
More like
you're no raccoon whisperer.
More like charcuterie.
Ooh. That has to be a fucking Instagram page, I'm sure. It's like showing the best of people. It's
I didn't want to step on Jamie's raccoon mention.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, don't interrupt me when I'm talking about the raccoon whisperer.
But yeah, I mean, credit to all these people. I mean, look, if just because we can't dine out doesn't mean we can't create that experience for our squirrel friends.
True.
Guy, I'm actually curious, what is the, like, what would you say the national consensus in New Zealand is around UFOs, aliens, like, as compared to what you've experienced in America?
We struggle to do anything on the same scale as you guys.
That's such a nice way of putting it.
We don't have a Roswell.
Right.
This time last year, actually, I visited Roswell, New Mexico. And it was they sort of like, people said they saw something that got heavily debunked here 60 years ago. Why don't we brand our entire town around it? But here it's like, it's probably just, There's nothing in the mainstream. You know, talk to a few people who are hobbyists, who sort of very like low level fringe conspiracy theorists who get excited, but it's not really a feature of discourse.
Right.
What about over there?
Woo!
We're all in, baby.
I will say I dabble a little bit, and there's some wild sightings off the coast of Australia and
now it's
in the southern hemisphere.
It's almost like an exit strategy for you guys.
Like, I need
this
to be true.
Has to be real. Yeah.
It has to. God. It's the only fucking explanation.
Well, just an update that John O. Brennan, very close to having my same name, was but the O is a middle initial. He was CIA director under Obama, so a completely, you know, evil and manipulative monster, but someone with the highest security clearance. Like, he probably knows who killed Kennedy and where all the bodies are buried, all that good stuff. But the surprising thing here is not just that he's like open to the possibility that UFOs are the result of intelligent life, but also like how mysterious and completely wide open the whole thing seems to him. Like, there's one point he says, life besides what's in the States, meaning like that other, it seems to imply that other countries might be aware of different life forms that we're not aware of. And then he says that there might be life defined in many different ways, and something that we don't yet understand that could involve some type of activity that some might say constitute a different form of life. So it's like he's opening the door to, I don't know if it's robots or what.
It's
like
a fucking TED Talk at Burning Man.
Yeah.
What are you doing, bro? Just fucking tell me what it is.
This is a CIA director.
It's a fucking.
But he just sounds like
a third grade classroom.
He legit sounds like us when we first saw those videos. He's like, you know, I think we should be open to everything. Those videos are fucking wild, man.
Right,
like,
right.
Essentially, he's like, I don't know. When people talk about it, is there other life besides what's in the States, in the world, the globe? Life is defined in many different ways. I think it's a bit presumptuous and arrogant for us to believe that there's no other form of life anywhere in the entire universe. What that might be is subject to a lot of different views. But I think some of the phenomena we're going to be seeing continues to be unexplained and might, in fact, be some type of phenomenon that is the result of something that we don't yet understand and that could involve some type of activity, that some might say constitutes a different form of life.
Okay. Okay, you cryptic fuck. As if being the head of the CIA wasn't enough. You're like, it might be. Wouldn't it be hilarious if it, like, we were just so wrong scientifically that, like, something like, oh, yeah, water's aliens. And we're like, what? They're like, yeah, what the fuck do you think? Like, that's the whole reason shit's popping here is because of water. That shit is aliens. That's the aliens, the water.
Drinking aliens? You know? Yeah. My body is 80%
alien? Alien, yeah, yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't, that the way he's speaking, it's almost like his mind's been fucked. Like, he's totally had his mind blown. Like, someone who's like, just has like the calm of like seeing, like zooming out to a point where you're like, honestly, exactly, man, like clothes don't even fucking matter, dude. After the shit I've seen,
it's real higher plane of consciousness, sort of galaxy brain stuff, right?
Yeah,
which is
right.
Just like, it's like hearing anyone who is a very specific expert at a thing try and explain it to you in layman's terms, and you're like, you can see that their brain is working overtime to try and articulate it in a way that's accessible, but what comes out
it
is just
completely
sort of,
fails.
Yeah, like
there's no forward just a penetration. Word salad. It just keeps going out to the sides.
A word salad where the crouton is the word phenomenon. You use the word phenomenon like 30 times.
Punctuating every couple bites with that phenomenon crunch.
The phenomenon.
You know what I mean?
If you took the phenomenon out, it would just be a wet mess.
The CIA did, you know, during the Cold War, have a habit of dosing each other with LSD for, you know, as a bit, kind of, and also because they thought it
pretty
might
cool
be
bit.
A way to control people's minds.
I call it mind control.
Yeah. But yeah, maybe he's dabbled. It sounds a little bit like somebody who's,
it does, yeah,
like you said, had their third eye opened a little bit.
Right. It's guy who came back from a shroom trip for the first time.
Yeah.
Who like really just even decided to like look at a problem with this set, like with this vocabulary of just being like, you know, when someone goes like, I don't know, it's weird, like some people call it pain, and I realized if you zoom out a bit, it's a sensation. And then from there, we fork off to say whether or not that sensation is pleasure or pain. So I take a view even further back that that's sensation, not pain. And this guy's like, you know, this first line that he says, I think it's important for analysts to do, the important thing for analysts to do is not go into this type of challenge, either discounting certain types of possibilities or believing in advance that is likely X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's such a good articulation of hallucinogens. It's just like, it's just a person pushing zoom out on their perspective of life.
Yeah.
And some people just get their finger caught on the zoom out button until they can't get back in.
They're like, get the command minus key. You know, the text is too small now.
If anyone wants to, I think one thing we're learning here is that if anyone wants to immobilize John O'Brennan or render him moot for like 7 months, they just have to introduce him to the Joe Rogan podcast, because this motherfucker would love the Joe Rogan podcast.
Or he's like too hard for Rogan. He goes on there, he goes, dude, you're full of shit, dude. You don't even fucking know. You don't even fucking know. You're out here with your fucking Navy SEALs who run marathons. You're fucking stupid, man. What's this podcast, man, even? You fuck. I can't be here, man. I can't even fucking be here right now with the shit I know. Like, oh my God.
I talked to this journalist he's like a historian journalist who I want to develop a podcast with. And ahead of our call, he had like clearly just like tried listening to podcasts a couple times for the first time. And that was his exact vibe. He was like, listen to Joe Rogan. What the fuck is that? Like, he was just so unimpressed. I was like, yeah, well, we wouldn't do that necessarily. But
he's like, what the fuck is that, man? That's the future. Whoa.
Exactly. Wow.
Holy shit. Elon Musk smoked a blunt on there. I mean,
damn, dog.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.